Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Football on off the ball.
He played down at Millwall a couple of times in the Den. That was at a time when Danny Shittoo was the captain of Millwall, and he used to stand at the front of the tunnel with no top on and bark like a dog. Honestly, we can laugh now because it is a bit funny, but it's the most intimidating thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Time for the news round, and I'm joined in studio by Aidan Delaney and Dion Fanning, who was in for the Sunday pay-per-view. We'll get details of that shortly, and the podcast will be available very soon as well. But very good afternoon, gents.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
All good?
All good. You?
Yeah, looking forward to a crucial day in the Premier League title race.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's you know, advantage Arsenal still just about, but West Ham fighting for their lives down there. We were just saying it's 10 years since they moved out of Upton Park. Has it really been a successful
Bowling
10
ground.
Years?
You know? Remember it became the bowling ground
it
towards
is,
the end, just so tied into farewell to the bowling.
And if they could use another big result like that. They got a 3-2 win over United that day. So if they could get something like that today too, it would certainly put a cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah, I think even a draw maybe for Arsenal is not the worst given what happened last Monday.
No, it's not. And I don't see West Ham. I know one of the things, and this title race is actually proving it, that it's very hard when you sit down with six games to go and say this is how it's going to go. It very rarely works like this, that, but I just don't see West Ham doing anything. Like, you talk about Upton Park, like, the London Stadium is a terrible place. It's, you know, like, whatever anxiety the Arsenal have at the Emirates, like, you multiply it by 100 for whatever West Ham experience at London Stadium, and it's just soulless. 10 years from Upton Park, and, like, that was a great ground to watch football.
Absolutely.
In
it was a horrible place to go as well for teams. I'm like talking to players that played there.
No, it was. This is not like that. This is something.
No, this is, well, I mean, a lot of new stadiums are like that, where they're new and shiny, and, you know, like, look at Lansdowne Road. You know, we haven't been the same since we upgraded Lansdowne Road.
No, although, like, Upton Park, like, this London Stadium is a degree, or like it's worse than that, you know, with the running track, you know, it's the Olympic Stadium. It's there because West Ham got a good deal on it, but it's not anywhere that anyone wants to be.
No, well, they could be watching Championship football there next season. It's a big one. That's where we're going to start the news round, Aidan.
Yeah, Arsenal looking to restore their 5-point gap at the top of the league this afternoon. Gunners taking on West Ham, knowing anything less than a win will leave the door open for Manchester City to overtake them. Mikel Arteta is feeling good, though, after guiding his side into their first Champions League final in 20 years during the week. They've been criticised for over-celebrating that fact, but Arteta says the noise will only make them stronger.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that criticism is positive and negative, I'm assuming. That when we talk about criticism, is positive and negative. And that's what makes you better. I mean, that's when you want to set higher standards and performance levels that can give you the chance to compete for the two most prestigious competitions probably in Europe. You have to be prepared for that because you know the challenge, difficulty of it, and it does make you better, that's for certain. We talked immediately after the game, and this is great, what a moment. We earn it, we will have time to prepare and get ready for that final. But now, the focus, the attention, the detail, the energy, everything has to be put into West Ham. There is nothing else there, and we made it very clear. Stay present, live the moment, prepare, and show the same level of energy, hunger, and desire that we've shown all season, or more. Because, as you said, we are closer and closer, and everything that we do know is going to matter to win it or not.
Yeah, Mikel Arteta, he's so close. A lot of people giving him stick, but he's nearly about to reach the promised land. Imagine he wins both.
Well, yeah, just win one of them.
Yeah, like, I'm getting greedy now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is the thing. Like, one of the reasons Arsenal suddenly people felt like they were coming off the rails was because everyone was talking about the quadruple.
Yeah, but
and then they, you know, they lost to, you know, City, and they lost to Southampton. And
yeah,
it seemed like everything was coming apart. Arsenal win one of these trophies, especially the Premier League, I think, because of how long it's been and the effort they've put into it. Then it doesn't matter. But I like, it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see how much of an impact what they've achieved, how this week has gone for them, has now when they play West Ham.
Yeah, and if they do beat West Ham, it's hard to see how they slip up from there in terms of, you're playing Burnley, already gone, already got rid of their manager, and they're playing a Crystal Palace team away from home on the final day, who will have one eye on Leipzig and that Conference League final against Vallecano. So it's worked out nicely for them in terms of that. But look, there still is one job to do today, and I'm sure there's so much scar tissue for Arsenal fans, they won't believe it's going to happen until they actually see Martin Odegaard lifting the Premier League trophy. And then you can go in to a Champions League final where nobody really gives you a chance.
Yeah, well, that's it. But like, again, just if they win the Premier League, that's their mission. Like, you know, that's what they've wanted. Like, I think the Champions League is great, and I think it's fantastic. And I'm on the side of people who say, I'm on the Ian Wright side of the debate, saying let them celebrate this, let them enjoy it, because it's, you know, it's a Champions League semi-final.
Mm.
Like, it was a pretty terrible game to watch. But if you're Arsenal and you haven't had much to actually, like, to celebrate it. It's not going to make any difference to how you approach the final that you're dancing around at the Emirates 3 weeks before.
No, the only thing it'll do is if they don't win, people will poke fun at them online, which...
They'll do that anyway.
They do that anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. But that game is at 4:30. That's their second commentary game today. We've got Stephen Doyle and Keith Tracy calling that from the London Stadium. Our first game, and you can put a little bit of a talk into it now.
So Nottingham Forest looking to ensure their safety if results go their way. A win over Newcastle would put enough distance between them and a relegation zone. Kickoff at the City Ground is at 2:00. At the same time, Palace take on Everton and Burnley welcome Aston Villa.
So let's concentrate now on that game between Nottingham Forest and Newcastle. Richie McCormack and Brian Kerr on commentary duty for us. Good afternoon, Richie. Team news is in, and obviously Forest are down a few bodies, as they were on Thursday. And when Vitor Pereira came in, the mission was to avoid relegation, and the European run would have been a bonus, but I'd say they're hurting after what happened on Thursday.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Vitor Pereira is saying in the immediate aftermath of Thursday's crushing 4-0 defeat at Villa Park, which has denied them a place in a European final for the first time in 42 years, that they will be downhearted by this. Of course, it has been a tough couple of days for them, and as you mentioned there, they are battling on through injuries. Unlike on Thursday night when Morgan Gibbs-White was deemed fit enough for a place on the bench, he is not involved today. He'll be a huge miss for Forest with his 13 goals so far in the Premier League, which has done so much to drag them towards the brink of safety. As you mentioned there, the league record under Vitor Pereira has been remarkably impressive. I would have been guilty of penciling in Forest for the drop following his arrival, their fourth manager of the season, let's remind ourselves. But instead, they are unbeaten in their last seven. They've won their three in a row in the Premier League, which included that bank holiday Monday victory over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. But that game has come at a cost, of course, with Morgan Gibbs-White suffering that rather nasty facial injury, which means he is not involved today. Pereira has made four changes to his side, which was beaten, of course, 4-0 at Villa Park the other night. Back in goal for Stefan Ortega comes Matt Sells. Elsewhere, there is a change among the midfielders as well, with Luka Netz coming in for James McAtee, which means a change in formation for Forest. Dylan Bakwa comes in for Amari Hutchinson as well, and the man who bagged a brace at Stamford Bridge just under a week ago now, Taiwo Awoniyi, comes in to lead the line in place of Chris Wood, who drops to the bench. So Forest will line up with three at the back. Matt Sells behind them in goal. Jair Cunha, Nikola Milenkovic and Morato are their stout back three. The width will be provided by Neco Williams, who'll be on the right-hand side, Luca Netz on the left, and in between them in midfield, Elliot Anderson and Nicolas Dominguez. Dylan Bakwa and Igor Jesus will provide the support for Taiwo Awoniyi up front. An interesting Newcastle lineup. They are in the midst of an injury crisis at right back, with Tino Livramento out, Lewis Miley suffering an injury in training that has ended his season prematurely as well. Kieran Trippier leaving the club, he's out of contract at the end of the season, but he is deemed fit only enough for a place on the bench. So instead, out of position, they'll have Lewis Hall at right back this afternoon in an otherwise unchanged back four from their most recent outing, a victory against Brighton last Saturday. Nick Pope continues in goal. Lewis Hall will be at right back. Malik Cho and Sven Botman, their impressive centre-half partnership, and Dan Byrne will be on the left. They've a very familiar-looking midfield trio of Bruno Guimaraes, Sandro Tonali and Joel Linton. Nick Voltamada comes back into the side, though, to lead the line for the first time since that ill-fated date against Sunderland back towards the end of March. And either side of him will be Jacob Murphy and William Asula in midweek, or pardon me, on Friday. Eddie Howe was asked if players who are deemed to not be fully invested in their futures at Newcastle will still be involved. Of course, there's been massive transfer speculation, Phil, as you will have noted, around Anthony Gordon and a potential move to Bayern Munich in the off-season. Anthony Gordon is named among the Newcastle substitutes this afternoon. But it is a substitutes bench that does look particularly strong if they happen to be chasing a goal. He's joined on the bench then by Harvey Barnes, Johan Vissa, Joe Willock, Jacob Ramsey and Anna Down's own Alex Murphy.
Thanks very much. That's Richie McCormack. Myself and Brian Kerr will be calling the action for Nottingham Forest and Newcastle at 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll build up to that game with Brian Kerr shortly. And interesting that you see Lewis Hall is playing as a right back. It just never looks right. A left footed player playing right back. We've no problem with right footed players playing left back. Dennis Irwin was one of the finest at doing it, but so rarely you'll see a left footer playing right back.
Yeah, I think it's got something to do as well with the fact that left footed players are so strong on one side that you kind of tend to think that there's nothing, they've nothing on the other side at all. Like, I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
But you just feel that there's a kind of imbalance in it.
But then you'd often see a right winger with a left foot, somebody like Mo Salah.
It's all the inserted
so he can
wingers,
cut in and stuff like that. So it's funny that it doesn't work if you just move one spot back.
Yeah, if I could go back to when I was a kid, I'd use my left foot.
I would really train yourself. Yeah,
be a proper left-footed player.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think they're so specialised. Okay, big game in Scotland and there's been a big goal.
Yeah, absolutely. The second half of the Old Firm Derby, Parkhead hosting Celtic and Rangers. It's now Celtic 2, Rangers 1 there. Mikey Moore had opened the scoring early on for Rangers. That was cancelled out by Hyung-Yong Yang. And then it's Dyson Maeda who has just put Celtic into the lead there, assisted by Kieran Tierney. And that is a massive goal because it puts Celtic just 1 point behind Hearts as things stand, but still 55 minutes gone, so plenty to go in this game. A win for Celtic, as I say, would leave them 1 point behind Hearts, who drew 1-1 with Motherwell last night.
Yeah, and obviously Celtic play Hearts in Celtic Park on the final day of the season. Hearts have a better goal difference. They're four better at the minute. Like when Mikey Moore scored, it was 1-0. There was a little spell where Chimiti in particular was causing serious problems for Trusty, and you thought there's going to be another goal for Rangers, but Celtic hit back and now they're ahead. Same thing happened Rangers last week. And we've got another goal as well. Celtic have just scored a third goal.
A third, well, there you go.
So it's, this was the game Celtic fans would have been worried about. Rangers are out of it after they lost to Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And, one thing they could do before they finish the season is put a serious dent in Celtic's title ambitions. But Celtic on course now to close the gap, and I said it's in their hands. And
and I was watching some of Motherwell Hearts last night, and Hearts did look pretty tired,
Celtic have to play Motherwell, which is not an easy one. Obviously Motherwell are, like, because of that split towards the end of the season, all the teams that you play are at the top end of the table, so it makes for a competitive one. But Maeda's the second goal for him, so 3-1 looking good for Celtic. Great goal it is. We're going to go on to the FA Cup now?
Yeah, so the Women's FA Cup has seen Denise O'Sullivan open the scoring for Liverpool as they bid to reach the final. The Cork woman hit the net after 11 minutes in their semi-final with Brighton. The Reds currently lead that game by 2-1. Caitlin Hayes has started in the Seagulls' backline. And then Chelsea and Manchester City renew their rivalry in the second semi-final later on this afternoon.
Yeah, good stuff for Denise O'Sullivan. Might get a Wembley appearance. Now we're going to move to Gaelic games, provincial finals, Munster football final is first. We have the Connacht final as well. And it just seems like, you know, people often talk down the provincial finals, but there could be a couple of good stories either today or next weekend as well.
Big time, yeah. Obviously, it's always a big rivalry between Cork and Kerry. The Rebels looking to dethrone their neighbours in Munster from 1:45. We're just building up to this on RTE as we watch at the minute. And then in Connacht, it's Galway looking to make it five in a row. Standing in their way is Roscommon, who would only love to spoil the party. That is a 4:15 throw-in.
Yeah, Roscommon going for the clean sweep. They've won the minors, the under-20s. Obviously, they took out Mayo the last time. And speaking of GAA, we've got the GAA Roadshow. First time ever Off the Ball brings you its live GAA show to the Ulster Hall, delivering a night of insight, analysis and crack in part one. The Hurling Pod will take centre stage. Will O'Callaghan, Paul Murphy and James Skell will be joined by special guests to dive deep into the race for the Liam McCarthy Cup. Then it's over to OTB Gaelic football. Owen Sheehan and Tommy Rooney will be joined by Armagh legend Stevie McDonnell. Expect in-depth analysis, big personalities, plenty of laughs. Tickets are now on sale at ulsterhall.co.uk, so make sure you can secure your seat. And, you know, it was an interesting day yesterday. I think all the teams won. Don't want to bring up Wexford losing to Dublin, Aidan, but I think most people tipped Dublin to win.
Absolutely, and I think if you looked, I wasn't watching the game live, but I looked back on some of the highlights there, and it felt like a bigger victory than 5 points. And I was listening to Keith Rossiter speaking to our own Jonathan Higgins, and he had a bit of quibbles with some of the decision making by the referee. The wind obviously played a massive role there in that game as well, but Wexford just feel like they've kind of taken a step back this year. There was always going to be a bit of a fall off given that so many players have left now, and when you lose a kind of talisman like Rory O'Connor, who's gone for the year, that's always going to be hard to replace. And they did really well in the league. I think a lot of people were quite surprised by how much they kind of battled to stay in Division 2 there. And it's really, like, you know, it's Dublin, it's Kilkenny, it's Galway. They've really taken a step forward, and Wexford just managing to keep their heads above water at the minute. The game against Galway would be massive too.
Yeah, well, there is Leinster hurling action as well. Maybe before you get that, you might tell us, just before we switch codes, the Tailteann Cup as well this afternoon.
Yeah, opening round continues this afternoon. Tipperary and Sligo have just gotten their action underway. It is a 1:30 throw-in then for Carlow, who welcome Antrim. There's two games down for decision at 2:00. That's Laois meeting Wicklow and Waterford hosting London. And then at 3:00, the action finishes up with Fermanagh taking on Longford. Leinster hurling as well. You mentioned Kilkenny looking to keep themselves in the running for a place in this year's final. They take on Offaly at 3:00. Galway remain unbeaten at the top of the round robin table after yesterday's big win, come from behind win as well over Kildare, and Dublin just behind them following their 5-point win over Wexford. Going to Munster then, Cork are 3-3 after yesterday's win over neighbours Waterford. We can hear from our own Stephen Gleeson, who was chatting to Rebels boss Ben O'Connor. He says they're enjoying their hurling, but they're not getting ahead of themselves just yet.
We're aiming to have a happy camp, and as you see at the moment, we have a happy camp. Now, that can change very fast after a couple of defeats, but at the moment, we're driving on and fellas are enjoying it.
Technically, not in the Munster final yet, but it's looking likely. And like when you hit the way you've gone this championship, it must be pleasing because everybody is rowing in together now, and you can really sense that the forwards are gelling there, particularly that full forward line.
Yeah, look, we've good players all over the place, but it's next Wednesday night when we start back training now, and that's where you'll see fellas will get going again. Like, we have a good buzz in the camp at the moment. We've 37 fellas inside, a couple of injuries at the moment, but they're all inside there, they're all enjoying it. Like, there's 11 fellas at home that couldn't travel down here today. You can only tag out the 26 or the 11 fellas that weren't tagged out at all, and I can guarantee you they get as big a kick out of winning here tonight as the fellas that were here. So look, we have a happy camp at the moment, we hope to keep it that way.
Well, what do you think with the hype now? Will that be around Cork now, do you think, or is it going to be firmly around Limerick, I suppose, or do you just deal with that as get on with it?
There's no hype in it, us anyway. The boys, as I said, the boys will enjoy that there tonight just because we're after winning a Munster championship match, but we'll be back to on the field on Wednesday night until we drive on for Clare. So there's no hype inside our camp anyway. There might be hype someplace else out around the place, but nah, we've only one thing now mind, and that's Clare Sunday week now again.
Hyper and Cork, never. In ladies football then, Waterford are taking on Tipperary, knowing a win or a draw will take them to the Munster ladies football final. It's currently 6 points each in that one into the second half. And later, it's a preview really of the men's final as Cork and Kerry meet at 1:45.
Yeah, and just finish up with the Six Nations. There was a game in Belfast last night. So Ireland have two home wins from two. Sets it up nicely for next weekend when Scotland come to the Aviva next Sunday. So it was important, obviously, Ireland bounce back from that game against France.
Yeah, and they looked well as well. It was a 33-12 win over Wales. Led from start to finish. Aoife Wafer, such a talisman for that team. She scored two tries, as did Brittany Hogan, as the hosts picked up a crucial bonus point in that one as well. There were also wins for England and France yesterday, as is to be expected.
Now, Dion, we'll obviously have the Sunday paper review will be up shortly. You had Linda Marr and Declan Lynch in studio. Any highlights that spring to mind?
Well, we were talking a little bit about punditry. There was a little piece in Conor McKeown's column about Kenny Cunningham and the role of a pundit and facts versus other elements in a pundit's arsenal. And so we talked about that, and it was just interesting. We had a broader discussion about punditry, and then Linda was saying she was actually at Roy Keane's gig in the Three Arena last night, and Linda wasn't that impressed by it. It was a huge crowd at it.
Yeah, I know people are
paying top money for it.
Yeah,
but it's a bit like debate about rock bands. I think when they go to the stadiums, you know, like, is that really what you want? Is that the arena you really want to see your heroes in? Even though it's kind of unclear what exactly you're going to see.
I think like the nostalgia stuff, people love it.
Yeah,
And somebody like Roy Keane, like, you know, he knows how to entertain a crowd.
He does. Like, Keane is always, always been good at that. Yeah. Always been good at that, wherever, whatever the size of the crowd.
Mm.
But Linda felt it was just, there was nothing new in it. I wonder if when you go to that, what you think you're going to get. But but people do love the nostalgia. And this is a phenomenon now that, and we discussed this in the paper review, this phenomenon of what people will go and watch now, and it's it's just one of those things. But I think if you go to it and you think, right, well, I didn't get anything out of that, that's what comes with paying. You know, you're entitled to feel that way, especially when you pay the money that people are charging for those things.
In terms of pundits, what do we want from pundits? We want, for me, I want insight that nobody else really will give us. Some people want real tactical breakdown. Some people want stories from within a dressing room, almost like, you know, this is what would be going through your head if you were in this situation.
Yeah, I think people want to feel like they're part of the conversation as well, that they're not being talked down to, but they're not being kind of dictated to. And I think somebody like Keane does that quite well. He's, you know, he's kind of played the hits at this stage. We kind of know what we're going to get. But I think somebody like Darren Sturridge is probably somebody that I kind of like listening to. I think he's somebody that can, you know, is, you know, relatively recently out of the game, somebody who knows what it's like to be in a dressing room, but can break into those bit of tactical bits as well, and just gives you that little bit more than maybe, the kind of standard pundit can give.
Well, Daniel Sturridge is on Prime, and they, you know, they have Wayne Rooney, Clarence Seedorf, they've Sturridge. Sometimes they have someone else there, but I think as well what people want now and they expect is researched.
Mm.
Yeah, they do. Because everybody knows in a way they didn't know before. They know the facts about a team.
Yeah.
So it's no good coming along and saying,
we can check it.
I was saying, I don't know much about so-and-so. You know what I mean? Which is what pundits would have done 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't expect that. But at the same time, you also do want, I think the insight and the glimpse of something that you haven't seen is valuable. Whether that's something you haven't seen through a dressing room or something you wouldn't have noticed on a pitch. And I think Kenny Cunningham actually has great value as a pundit because of the fact that he's going to say something that is contrary as well. And that there is a value in that too.
And by the way, like, obviously having worked with Kenny, and look, he's not here to defend himself, but if he says something, he doesn't say it for this. Like, he will say it because that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
There is pundits that will say it to get a reaction,
mm-hmm.
but that's not Kenny. He looks at the game very differently to other people.
Like, that's brilliant. And that's what you want.
Like, the prime example is the 5-4 he wanted the nil all.
Yeah,
the
2003
final.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I tell you what people don't want. They don't want 10-minute discussions about whether Fofana got a touch on the Chelsea goal yesterday, which it would seem to just take over TNT's coverage for, like I say, at least 10, 15 minutes where it was when he got a touch, you know, what would you do in that situation and that kind of stuff. And it just really drove that into the ground. And I think somebody like Ali McCoist is a really kind of valuable member of their team because he brings an enthusiasm. He brings a kind of love of football, which I think some pundits can kind of get a bit jaded on. Mm. But when he's kind of pushed into a corner like that and just, oh, let's just talk about this one thing over and over and over, it just gets so tiring.
Yeah, so the plenty of that in the Sunday paper review with Dion Fanning and Linda Marr and Declan Lynch, and that will be available very soon in podcast form.
Off the Ball Daily.